Last decade, I've been writing about treating consumers with respect, about transparency, and about creating things worth talking about. Now, all of a sudden, it appears as though you're supposed to throw that away and pander to the lowest common denominator. Far from it. Doing the right thing pays off. Storytellers who trick consumers get caught. They become inconsistent, or sooner or later, they get punished. Wonder Bread filed for bankruptcy because the American public realized that eating too much white bread and Twinkies was killing us. Countless computer companies that promised consumers more than they could deliver have disappeared. Brands get rich, then cut corners and get hammered. I was clear about this in Purple Cow, and I'll repeat myself here. If you want to grow, make something worth talking about. Not the hype, not the ads, but the thing. If your idea is good, it'll spread. The public demands that you tell them a story. The story is part of the product or service that they buy. In many cases, the story is what people set out to buy. But at the core of a story is the thing, the real thing, the essence of what you've built. And if you try to build on a rotten core, you'll succeed for a bit, but then you'll lose. The cigarette preferred by doctors. Philip Morris killed millions of people by marketing an extraordinarily addictive product to those not yet addicted. Beechnut lied about putting water into apple juice. McDonald's teaches millions of people to eat in a certain way and to create a huge amount of waste in creating the food and packaging it as well as a result of their marketing. Sure, it's just storytelling, but marketing that succeeds turns into the lie we tell ourselves, and that hurts us and the people around us. It comes down to authenticity. Telling a story that won't disappoint, that you believe, and that your customers will have no trouble living with. Marketing isn't the problem. Marketing is just a tool. People are the problem. People with short-term pressures and greedy, selfish goals. But it's not just the people in marketing who are responsible. Consumers are complicit as well. When they refuse to spend a few minutes understanding side effects and buy a story instead, consumers aren't acting as adults. They're just pawns. But when I see how some marketers misuse their sophisticated tools, trading long-term health and benefits to large populations in exchange for a few dollars, it makes me embarrassed to be a marketer. The good news is clear. Authentic marketing from one human to another is extremely powerful. Telling a story authentically, creating a product or service that actually does what you say it will, leads to a different sort of endgame. The marketer wins, and so do her customers. A story that works combined with authenticity and minimized side effects builds a brand and a business for the ages. Why sophisticated women hate minivans. My wife won't drive one. Neither will our friend, the New York Times columnist who lives down the street. Hey, it's a car, not a lifestyle statement. It's transportation, not a branding tool or a personal marketing choice. It's the most expensive discretionary expense in people's lives, but most people rarely choose a car for a logical reason. Every car tells a story, and a minivan tells that story particularly clearly. It doesn't matter that minivans are durable and cost-effective and fuel-efficient and way more comfortable than SUVs. What matters most of all is the way it makes someone feel. The story, soccer mom driving a taxi for kids all day, demolishes the utility of the car itself. Avoiding this story costs hundreds of thousands of dollars to people over a lifetime of car buying. Instead of buying the car that makes sense, more people choose to buy an SUV. They believe the story, not the facts. SUVs get lousy mileage. They are more dangerous to the driver, to her passengers, and to people in other vehicles than minivans. They create more than their share of pollution. They create more wear and tear on the roads and take up extra space on parking lots and highways. But they make people feel good. Is there something wrong with this? Is it a sign of weakness or foolishness when we believe a story instead of looking at the facts? I don't think so, until we consider the side effects. Marketing is so powerful today that marketers have a new kind of responsibility, a responsibility to both long-term profits and to the long-term viability of their markets. If you make a fortune but end up killing people and needlessly draining our shared resources, that's neither ethically nor commercially smart, is it? Nuclear weapons have killed a tiny fraction of the number of people than unethical marketing ever has. It's time we realize that there may be no more powerful weapon on Earth. Marketing stories can have a nearly instant impact, and that impact can be felt for decades. Paul Prudhomme created a story about redfish that made the fish a staple in restaurants around the country and came very close to causing its extinction. Coke and Pepsi created a story about corn syrup, and this myth is causing the premature death from heart disease and diabetes of millions of people. I refuse to accept that there's a difference between a factory manager dumping sludge in the Hudson River, poisoning everyone downstream, and a marketing manager making up a story that ends up causing similar side effects. Marketing is an awesomely powerful tool, and marketers share the same responsibilities everyone else does. We're just serving the market. We're satisfying people's needs. And adults should have the right to make a decision about this, are the words of a weasel. Crafting a story that tricks people into making short-term decisions that they regret in the long run is the worst kind of marketing sin. Refusing to take responsibility for it afterward is just cowardice. Just because you want to make more money is no justification for using the power of lying to hurt the rest of us. Who's your nanny? I'm not proposing that marketers become the conscience for our society. If we try to one-up one another in the do-gooding category, it'll never end, and nobody will make any money. Sure, the world would be better if everyone rode a bicycle to work, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't market cars. I'm proposing a simple test for separating the honest stories from the deceit.